Appreciate that. And I know that we will have your support, your continued support. Walker will actually be leading some of the worship. He's going to take his guitar, and we're going to have a wonderful time. Just so you know, we're going with my brother's church in Ohio. I think there's 25 that are going with us, and then there's 25 more that are going to change out, and they're going to go the next week. So it's a big endeavor to get all of that. Just also pray that the ticketing, that the flights, that everything goes well to and from international travel. It's just a little bit different, a little bit more in depth, that everyone's passport works out. And my brother, the pastor of the church in Ohio that's going, he paid the money for his, because this is their 20th year of going to the Dominican. They have a church there. He paid the money to speed up the process to renew his passport. And then they told him a couple of weeks ago, we haven't got it ready yet. And they were supposed to be on time. But it did come in last Tuesday. So everybody's breathing a sigh of relief. So we're going to pray that that's the biggest speed bump and hurdle that had to be jumped has already been jumped. So, and I see you back there. Last week, you just looked away, Gabon. You just looked away, like he was talking to me. Gabon is our local doctor. She's on her way to hopefully be a surgeon. We've been praying for her. But she's back with us for a few weeks, so we're tickled to have her back. I failed to mention that last week. And we have other visitors here. We're so glad to see you. And if you're looking for a church, I'll just tell you, if you can get past the pastor, these are some of the best people in the world. Yes, there's one obstacle that you'll have to face. If you have your Bible, if you'll look at Ephesians chapter 4, if you'll also look at, we're going to move to chapter 5, so that one will be an easy one for you. And you don't have to, but I'm going to go back to Psalm 133 in a minute. Let me just say this too. We just started, now we didn't have it yesterday because everything was shut down. In October, we took the month of October, and we went through the book of James on Saturdays, and we had an overwhelming response. And then last Saturday, a week ago, we started the book of Ephesians. So this coming Saturday, we will hit those, I won't be here, but those who are, Logan will be facilitating this one, and it will be Ephesians chapter 2 and 3, making up 2 from yesterday. So be prepared to stay a little bit longer. I know that won't be a problem for you guys, because this is what's happened with those Bible studies. Nobody wants to go home. Everybody's just feeding and feasting on the Word, and it's not because you're getting taught at or preached at. Actually, the one who is up here is a facilitator. So we ask everyone to pray and study and bring and give and share. And it's kind of like a potluck of spiritual food that we've been feasting on during the week, and we come and share that. So if you can be a part of that. Also, if you don't know, we've been doing this for a couple of years now, but on Wednesday nights, we have a prayer time where we just gather and pray. And it has been very powerful. And we have heard and seen a lot of prayers answered. And we're praying for you in this body particularly. And then other things that come up. We pray for our nation. And we pray for our leadership. Because the Bible says that we should. Amen? And it's we pray for our leadership because the same reason you prayed, I hope you prayed for your school lunch. Did anybody pray for your school lunch back when they had school lunch? I had school lunch. I prayed for my school lunch. You know why I prayed for my school lunch? School lunch needs prayer. So we pray for our leadership. Our leadership needs prayer. Amen. It's easy to talk about them, but it'll be hard to talk about them when you're praying for them. So I'm going to start and come back to, I said chapter 4, but I've got here marked. Let's start with chapter 5, verse 15 and through 17. It says this: see then that you walk. Can you say walk? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. That's actually translated into the time is short and the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, what the purpose of the Lord is. Those scriptures right there, I'm going to read it again. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. To live circumspectly, to live carefully, deviating in no respect from the law of duty. This is a powerful passage of Scripture. To walk circumspectly, circum, like circular. Understanding that all of creation is in a process and that things happen in a circular way. Plant life. You're in a season right now. Winter, spring, summer, fall. The way that we got here, whether you're a man or a woman, you got here from a cyclical, circular pattern that God put in a woman's body. Cyclical, cycles. And at the right time, the womb conceived and you were born. And that's how it goes. And we live our lives in cycles. And truly, this happens with us. There are times when we do better and times when we don't do so good. And then times when we do better. Am I talking to anybody? In times when we don't do so good. There are doors that are opened unto us. And there's a time that we can get in through those doors. And pray that if we missed it, that we get back in. And that door's open back up to us again. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? So we live our lives circumspectly, redeeming the time. Trusting God with our lives. So let's look. My Bible is just a page back, chapter 4. So I'm going to give you the how to get to that circular life, to get to that circumspecting life, to get through that cyclical life that he set out before us. Paul in his letter to the Ephesians said this: I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. We just said that. See then that you walk. Verse 15 of chapter 5. Verse 4, chapter 1. I beseech you to walk. It goes on several times. It speaks about walking. It says that that we know down in verse 17 that we know, should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. But there is a way that we are supposed to walk in chapter 5, the second verse, and walk in love. So there's a way that we're supposed to walk. And in verse 8, it says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You see that walking is important to God, that your walk means something. That people will watch you, and your walk will decide for them if your testimony is real, authentic, and even true. So I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. I just made a joke. I said, if you can get past the pastor. But the truth is, you're going to have to get past people in your life, even people that you love, even people that you trust. Long suffering. Sometimes we suffer a long time in that area. But it is profitable, and it is something that we do out of a place of love, and we grow from that. And the Lord blesses us if we will do that. Bearing with one another in love. It says that because there's going to be times that we have to bear with each other, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity. That's why I said Psalm 133 to have that one ready. But it in Psalm 133, I preached it many times. It says how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. There's a picture of all of us, and the proof is what it says. It compares the unity of the brethren to the precious anointing oil that was poured out on the high priest Aaron that went, hit his head, but it didn't stop there. Can you say, I'm so thankful that the oil didn't just stop at the priest's head? It went to his beard. It went to his robe. It went to the hem of his garment. That is a picture of coverage. That is that so that unity hits the head and it works its way all the way down the body. And it says it's like the precious oil. See, the precious oil could not be contaminated. Actually, it was possible for it to be contaminated, but that was a very serious thing. And the reason that the oil was supposed to be pure was that if you touched the oil at the hem, it lost none of its power between the beard and the head and the spout that it came out of. It was the same oil. And I'll submit this to you. The reason the oil hit the head was so that it could get to the beard. The reason it hit the beard was so that it could get to the robe. The reason it hit the robe was so it could drip all the way down so that coverage would take place. And it draws another correlation. It says like the dew of a gigantic mountain on Mount Hermon. It's like the dew. The unity was like the dew of Mount Hermon. And dew gets everything wet. It's its job. And that was the comparison. And then it said this at the end. It's just three verses long. At the end it said, so at the end of that, there a blessing is commanded by God, even life forevermore. So when we have unity, we're actually able to walk in a commanded blessing from above. Isn't that good news? Thank you, Christine. Amen. Y'all are so quiet today. Y'all make me nervous when y'all do this. And I told y'all, when I get nervous, I talk. I'm a preacher. I talk. So we could be here a while today, and it won't be my fault, it'll be yours. So come on now, we're talking about the Lord together. So it says this, that we're to walk together in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then it says this, there's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. 1 Corinthians 12:25 says that there's not supposed to be any schisms in the body. That word schism means divided. There's not supposed to be any division. That word means that there's not supposed to be any rents. You remember the veil that was rent from top to bottom? There's not supposed to be any rent. There's not supposed to be any division in the body. Why? Because we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope, one God, one Father, one Spirit. And it's okay that we have many churches. But if you've got a grasp on addition and subtraction and multiplication, but you struggle with division, just look at the church. We'll explain it to you. We are so divided. I can tell you this, it's not biblical. If we were to not be divided, we would be walking in a commanded blessing from God. If we were unified, we would be a force to be reckoned with. Do you know that even in the political elections, there used to be a time when the vote of Christians mattered? Now it doesn't matter anymore because you got half voting for one and half voting for the other. It doesn't really matter. And that's not hard for me to figure out because we get divided on two candidates, but we're divided on who God is. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Shouldn't be this way. I'll continue reading. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. When it was just, when I was just talking about you about 1 Corinthians, or to you about 1 Corinthians 12, 25, that there should be no schism in the body, that was actually talking about the parts of the spiritual body where you would have the word described as the body of Christ to a human body. Even talked about fingers, and talked about ears, and it talked about more comely parts and less comely parts, and parts that are out front and seen, and then parts that aren't seen. And he said there shouldn't be any division because we need the whole thing. We need the whole thing. I'm talking to every one of you right now. The body of Christ needs you. You have a part to play. And he says every joint supplies. There's something about me that should bless you. And there's something about you that should bless me. And I'm not talking about the pastor and the congregation. I'm talking about John and Thomas. There should be something that I bless Thomas with and Thomas blesses me back with. That's the way it should be. Don, I should bless you and you should bless me. Mike, I can just go on and on. We should bless each other. That's biblical, and I believe that we do that. So let's keep going. Verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. How many times have we talked about that mind? Your mind is the battleground. Your mind is where this whole thing is fought out at, right here, this arena of my mind. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. And enough said right there. Being alienated from the life of God. If we're not together, we're alienated. In other words, we're not getting what we should be getting. We're wanting a connection here, and we can't even connect here. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned. Someone should be breathing a sigh of relief right there, because it sounded like he was against everybody. He wasn't against everybody, but he was against somebody. And he was calling it out. And it wasn't a call to be mean, and it wasn't a call to disqualify you. My patience wears so thin with Christians calling out Christians, but not in a way to build them up or hit the place, but instead as a place to disqualify them. If I can just get to a place where I can just label that woman that plays the instrument at that church, well, you know what she used to do, or you know who she was, and I use my mouth to do that, I've disqualified her. I've elevated myself. Except in God's eyes, nothing has changed for her, but I've exposed myself for who I really am and what my intentions are, and we better be careful. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And let me just say, the true righteousness and holiness is his, not yours. We will never be good enough to take that place. And if we rest in our own righteousness, we are deceiving ourselves. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. You know what that tells me? That in the body of Christ, lying was a problem. What else? Well, let's just see. Be angry and do not sin. See, he's trying to give them parameters right there. You had people walking around getting mad. He said, you can get angry, but you can't sin. When sin creeps in, you've crossed the line and you need to reexamine not the person you're mad at, but yourself. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. I'll just show them. I've never seen a time in my life like I'm seeing it right now where families are against families. Families are against families. Sons are against parents. Parents are against daughters. Brothers are against sisters. Families are against each other. I don't get it. Nor give place to the devil. So don't let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. That lets me know that while I'm showing them, I'm letting Satan in. Let him who stole steal no longer. So stealing was a problem. But rather let him work, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Say that again. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You know the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. You know what it says right after that? It talks about forgiving. And it says that we must forgive as He forgave us. And if we don't forgive others, there remains no forgiveness for us. It is so scary to me. It's confusing to me. To hold strong lines of unforgiveness. Is winning that important? It's something. Because you're not winning, you're losing. On your part. I'm talking about your part. I'm not talking about them, but I'm talking about you and your part. Because that's what He's talking about. Talking to believers about your part. Can I tell you it's okay to lose? It's okay to have some losses in your column. If you're undefeated, I don't want to go up against you. Because you got to win. Why would I worry so much about winning if I truly believe that He's already won? And I am in Him. That makes me a winner. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Can I tell you that He's hitting something like, if we're missing it, He's talking about our mouths, and He's talking about our speech, and He's talking about our conversation, and He's talking about what we say with our hands over our mouth. He talks about what we're typing into our computers. He's talking about our response and our comments and things like that. Every bit of that needs to be filtered through Him. There are people, I know the online life. People get real brave when they're sitting on, I don't know that they'd say that to your face. But why do we let that bother us so much? I took a lesson from my dad. And in those days, today pastors get texts and emails. In those days, pastors got letters. And I guess they thought them letters. You remember them letters, Christine? You got one time. That thing bothered you for a long time. And I took wisdom from my dad. I said, Christine, before you read that letter, go to the end. See if it's signed. If it ain't signed, y'all could send me $100 this week individually for that sound of therapy I just gave you. I charge $100 for the sound of therapy. Ball it up and throw it away. If they don't have enough gumption to put their name behind it, they don't mean it anyway. And it's not from the Lord. Here's the thing. The Lord may bring someone into your life that'll tell you truth. And you can receive that or reject it. Because that puts them on the line and you on the line too. But those letters, anonymous letters, throw them away. Let them go. Let them go. Don't live under that. Don't give the enemy free rent. Fornication, all uncleanness, verse 3, or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Rather giving of thanks. That almost seems, I just had to stop as I was looking at this. Like, in the middle of talking about fornication, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, things that aren't fitting, he said, but rather thanks. In other words, thanks is fitting. Instead of all those things, thanks. Why thanks? I'm going to tell you why thanks. Thanks requires thinking. And your battle is happening in your mind. And you start thinking about things that bring thanks, it'll change what you were thinking about, and it'll flush out all the other stuff. Because thankfulness requires mindfulness. And when I begin to be mindful, I can't think about God without thanking God. Somebody got that. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. One translation says, find out what pleases the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Another translation, reprove them. Another translation, bring light to them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake who you sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Back to where we started. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, I want to just say in closing right here, the importance of your time. I hope you realize that time wasn't for God. Time was made by God for you. That God is outside of time. But time is something that he's given us the instruction to redeem it. And I'm going to tell you, I believe it's hard to redeem our time with our face right here. I walk into my own living room, and I look around, and I see my mother-in-law in her 70s, my wife in her late 30s, I'm not all looks. My son, a teenager, me, my mid-50s. And everybody's like this, and I say, oh, that's what warms my heart. Everybody's on their social media. I just love this. And it's so easy to do, isn't it? It's so easy. And it's so easy to scroll and get lost. And sometimes my wife looks at me, she said, John, what are you doing? I said, I don't even know. I'm just buzzing over here on what's next. And taking my time that is from him and truly just wasting it. Just like endless. Like what I'm saying is and we all know how dangerous this is, right? But what I'm saying when I just endlessly scroll is like, I know you're dangerous. But I'm wide open. I ain't got nothing going on right now. And anything, I'm very idle right now, but anything you want to put in front of me, I'm strong enough to deal with. Good luck with that. Can I tell you where it started? Now this is from a 55-year-old guy There's my pen. I like that pen. I'm glad I got it back. I remember a long time ago, TV, we had a massive 13-inch TV. I remember when we got the 19-inch TV. You remember that 19? Some of y'all's phones are on your, some of y'all's watches are bigger than 19 inches. And we had ABC, NBC, CBS, and UHF. On UHF, sometimes you could get one or two little channels, and that dial would go. I've never seen a bigger ripoff in my life. Are those even real? I mean, it had like 100 channels, but only one or two came in, and they came in fuzzy. But we bought it because this one's got UHF, ABC, NBC, CBS. I still remember Channel 4, Channel 7, Channel 13. I remember that's baked into my brain, and then UHF. And then I could go from there, and I think we could get 21 and 3. It's like a bad dream. My dad on that 13-inch, we bought some rabbit ears, and then we found out that some aluminum foil on them bad boys could bring the Martians nigh unto us. And he would have me stand there, and something about my hand touching it helped it. Because as soon as he'd be like, right there, John. He'd call me John Mark. John Mark, right there, John Mark. Don't move. And I'd let go and think, no, go back. I need to see it's important, son. And I'd just be stuck. And then we moved to Dillon, South Carolina. My dad was the pastor of the Church of God there. And they had one of those radio antennas attached to the house. It had that dial. They had a 19-inch. We had moved to 19-inch by then. It had that thing on top. And we'd taken them little stickers, and tried to find the right spot. And like we wanted to watch something on this channel, but it started getting fuzzy. Like switch the channels, and it'd be like, John Mark, get over there, turn that thing. And then he'd turn it, and the remote on it. It was like it was lining up with the planets so we could get it. How could we know that one day I could watch a football game right here if I wanted to? But that's how we started. And we had information sources and resources. And it started with TV. And I remembered names like Walter Cronkite. Anybody remember him? Barbara Walters, David Brinkley. We had people like that. I remember my grandfather, when he retired, he lived on the Church of God campground in Malden, South Carolina. And there's a little lady that lived across the street from him. She was a retired pastor's wife, too. And she knew the news on everybody. She knew the stories that were going on in every church. And he called her Walter Cronkite. She would step off her porch. He goes, here comes Walter Cronkite. She's going to tell us everything that we need to know. But then we moved to Nightline with Ted Koppel. You remember that came on at 11 p.m.? That's when I told y'all I'd try to act like I was listening or get real quiet because I knew my dad. I knew I could stay up that extra minute, extra 30 minutes. So I was super quiet. We got CNN, 24-hour news, right? We had books and magazines, but then they started figuring out, can we get you to subscribe to these things? Can we get your attention? Can we get information out of you? Then we moved to bookstores with coffee and talk shows with, way back, Phil Donahue. You remember Phil Donahue? Do y'all remember that little boy on Christmas Story, You'll Shoot Your Eye Out? I always thought that looked like a baby Phil Donahue. You just got it. You saw him. Now you know who Phil Donahue is. He looked like a baby Phil Donahue. blew me away. Geraldo, Oprah, Dr. Phil, talk shows, and then all in between. Won't even go there. Today, it's podcasts. You know Joe Rogan Experience. You get like Fox News, who's like, they're like number one in viewership. But any of those major outlets, if they could get 1 million views, they're like, that's like ring the bell. Joe Rogan Experience in three interviews, I think it was 34 million for President Trump, 17 million for Elon Musk, and 17 million for the vice president candidate. That totaled 84 million views in three interviews. And all the major networks are looking at it like, oh no, these guys are going to, they've got everybody's attention. For that time. Today's culture gets their news from social media, YouTube videos, subscriptions. Not only do they want you to subscribe, they want you to hit that little box that rings that bell. So every time that something comes up, you get a notification that, hey, it's time for your attention again. Welcome, students. That's what they might as well be saying. Notifications. Endless resources. Google, TikTok, X, YouTube. Phones in the faces of the old and young and everyone in between. When I have an issue on this, I don't go to anybody older than me. I go to someone younger than me and say, because they're being raised up in it. They know what to do to fix it. Think about that. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We have more resources than ever before vying for our attention. Our phones are smarter, but are we? Do you know that God never called you to be smart? Matter of fact, he said, not many smart. He called you to be wise. Called us to be wise. A source is a person, place, or thing from which something comes or can be obtained. If you write a paper, they're going to say, cite your sources. Where did you get that information? That information came from something. A resource is an asset used in order to function effectively. Water is a resource, but the source of the water is a spring. See that? We've got all these resources at our fingertips, and I'm just picking on this one. All these resources are at our fingertips. I fear that we've got all these resources, but our source is getting neglected. The source is where everything is from. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Where does he get his? Bear in mind that he is a self-proclaimed jealous God. And he knows what he's getting, and he knows what he's not getting, and he knows what he wants. Those who are digging in are getting in. Those who are nonchalant, good luck. That's all I got for you, is a worldly culture response to that. Good luck with that. But if you want to be blessed, let's go back to the source. Can I tell you, for 2025, that is my vision for us, is getting to the source. Cutting away all the fat. Hear me. Even good things. Even good things. Why? Because the enemy of great things is good things. Why put resources into good when we could put resources into great? What is great? Prayer. The Word. Worship. And the fellowship of the believers. That's how it started. It didn't take it long for it to get messed up. But I believe that God sees it all, and there's plenty of things that He's allowed to happen. But I feel a call back to Him as my source is calling me. My source is calling me back. I want fellowship with you so that you can have fellowship in me. I want you in my word. I want you worshiping me. I want your time. So if we'll do that, I want your prayers. If we'll do that and make that a priority, Scripture says He knows everything we have need of. Christine, will you come? We have visitors, so you know that's my wife. Make room for my queen. It's real simple. Where I started is where I will end. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I'll just go back. Can you survive without it? I say you can. Is it needed? Yep. Is it necessary? Probably. Could you cut back on it? Oh, yeah. Today's message is not to hell with the cell phones. But your mind is valuable. And your time is His time. And how much does He get of it? How much does He get of what belongs to Him? Your relationship with Him will decide that. And then your life will reflect that. I'm being pushed spiritually by guys that have dug in. Younger than me, but they're digging in and they're pushing me. My old leadership used to pull me up. For whatever reason, I don't feel it pulling me much anymore. As a matter of fact, there are things that are giving me not just pause, but great pause. To say my spirit bears witness with something can be mistaken and used in an arrogant fashion. Or my spirit doesn't bear witness with that. That can put me on a step up and you on a step down. When the truth is, it's not my spirit. It's His spirit agreeing with Himself. Not even agreeing with me. His spirit agrees with Himself. And there's room for me to be a part of that agreement. And that keeps me where I'm supposed to be. There's something that happens on these Wednesday night prayer meetings that elevates my spirit, pushes me. there's something happens on these Saturday Bible studies that just pushes me. I'm tasting something that I'm realizing it's been there, but I missed out on it. I can tell you this. The time to get in is now. I'm talking about things like you don't even have to tell anybody I've been going to a Bible study. They'll know something's changed in you. They'll know something's changed in you. And I'm not just talking about coffee and pastries with friends. I'm talking about what does thus saith the Lord. And even this time right here, I'm telling you, you ever get sick of yourself? You ever get disappointed in yourself? When we started this church, when I first started pastoring, and that's been 30 years ago, I know y'all are doing the math. Pastor must be 15. I used to give altar calls. I used to make room for people to pray. I even had Bill Fitzer make these beautiful altars. You, in case you want to know if you're visiting, those are called altars. They are made out of wood. They're a prehistoric relic that used to be in churches. But I had him build us some to bring them back. Yet I stand guilty of not giving many altar calls. And I repent of that. I repent of that in front of you. Yeah, but if I'm fully, not trying to cast blame, but when I have given altar calls, many times no one responds. Now, when I was a kid, I responded every time, and my dad gave them every time, and he was the pastor. And I felt like I needed to get saved every Sunday. I mean, hellfire, brimstone. This little boy, y'all know how rambunctious I am at 55 years old. Can you imagine how I got saved? Y'all could say, well, you got saved and you were sealed and all this. No, I got saved every time. I found a loophole to go back to my sinful life. But I do think that there is a purpose in us gathering. Last week, from right here, my wife gave a plea for our lost loved ones, and then we called their names, and she just asked, if you have a lost loved one, will you come and let's agree together? It just came out of me. I said, wow, that came out of me. Oh, wow. Am I that blind? We have that close of a connection to our own loved ones that aren't saved. Well, I repent of that. And I know it's just an action. I know it. It's just an action. And I'll tell you what else I believe about repentance. I think repentance, I can say repentance. But I've told you this before. Repentance happens when we walk out these doors. But for me, a repentance is going to happen when I come into these doors. I'm going to look for opportunities. I'm going to look for times for us to pray together. And for you to come and respond, I want us to be responsive. If nothing else, we're taking a few steps saying, I respond to that. Everyone's not able to do that. I get that. But there's something important to us responding. And the Bible talks about an enemy that will quickly steal a seed from you. If we do nothing but come and say, God, seal this word up inside of me so that this seed gets into my soil, so that production can happen. If we do nothing more than just agree together, God, for this week, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. Proclamations. Does that make sense to you? I hope it does, because that's where I'm headed. So if we're going to say that we're going to cut away some good and go for the great and the excellent, I think it pleases the Lord for us to show Him, I'm in need of you. And if nothing else, I'll take a symbolic move and a symbolic step towards you. If you're able, I'm going to ask you if you would make a move right now. And let's close this thing up together with prayer. Sing that, Christina, as they come.